The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord said, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk." Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, "Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us too." And he said, "Woe also to you, scholars of the law! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. So we've heard a lot about woes and Pharisees and all of that in recent days and hypocrisy. So I thought I'd talk to you a little tiny bit about the first reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. We're going to be hearing from Romans for almost a month. So it's worth stopping and taking a look at this. Question for you this morning. Have you ever considered, you know how on Sundays we have a first reading, and we have a second reading, and we have a gospel? You ever wondered why the priest almost never preaches on the second reading? I mean, maybe you'll get a line out of the second reading, but usually the homilies on the gospel, or the first reading, or the gospel and the first, but almost never all about the second reading. You want to know why? It's because St. Paul writes more in fewer words than anybody else in the New Testament. It's really dense. Like, all you need is one line of St. Paul. And also, he writes about really lofty and difficult to understand things that you really need a long, long time to consider. So when you hear St. Paul read, you almost need to go home and read it again to yourself, and slowly. St. Paul soaks in like a soft rain, almost like we're getting here this morning. It's the best way to understand St. Paul. If you try to take him in quickly, you'll lose most of what he has to say. Okay, so St. Paul's letter to the Romans, a little background on that. Paul wrote to the Romans for two reasons. First reason Paul wrote to the Romans was because he planned to go to Rome and to use Rome as a base of operations where he would go and evangelize the western side of the Mediterranean. You've heard of the Corinthians, you've heard of the Philippians, you've heard of the Thessalonians. All these people are in and around Greece and Turkey, eastern side of the Mediterranean. Paul wanted to get to Spain. Paul wanted to get to North Africa. Paul wanted to get to, what's the south coast of France. Of course, he never got there. He was captured. He was imprisoned. He was beheaded. But that's one of the reasons why Paul wrote to the Romans. He was introducing himself and saying, "I want to come over." Okay. Second reason why Paul wrote to the Romans was because he wanted to preemptively answer a question that was on everybody's mind in a world full of Jews who are converting to Christianity and Gentiles who are converting to Christianity. And that is, namely, what is it that makes us justified in God's presence? Now, if you're a Jew, you'd answer that question by saying, well, you keep the law of Moses. You eat kosher food and you have circumcision and all these things. The question became, well, if you're a Gentile and you try to become a Christian, do grown men have to go through circumcision? Because, if they do, they might think twice, right, about going through it. And does everybody have to eat kosher laws? It's a really big question. Let me help bring the question home just so you can appreciate it a little bit more. You know what it's like to do something wrong. And you know what it's like to feel guilty about doing something wrong, don't you? We all know that. That's because everybody, no matter what they believe, knows that there's such a thing as right and wrong, and that there's such a thing as justice. And if you've ever even studied a little bit of psychology, you know that many people punish themselves for the wrong that they do. A lot of people's hang-ups and, compulsions and things. Psychologically speaking, they're punishing themselves for what they do. So question that's in every human heart is, where can I be free from that guilt, right? Where can I be set free and I can finally be at peace with God, even though I know that I've done wrong? That's what Paul's talking about in the Romans. Here's how he answers it. He begins by saying, let's begin by talking about God's own faithfulness. God is always faithful. He made a covenant with Adam. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Moses. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with King David. And did they keep God's covenant? Did all the Jews keep God's covenant? No, they broke it and they broke it and they broke it again. So what God did in Jesus Christ was he made a covenant and he was faithful to it. Here's the new covenant in Jesus' blood. And what Jesus offers you is God's own faithfulness, and he offers it to you as a flat-out gift. You can't be faithful. You keep falling on your face. You keep committing sins. Don't you worry anymore. God is the one who's faithful. He offers you his faithfulness as a gift to you, and the only thing we need to do to be just in God's presence is to accept that gift in faith, but of course a faith that acts out, and right, a faith that really changes your life and puts it into practice. That's what makes us just before God. Okay? So here in our first reading, St. Paul's talking to some Jewish converts to Christianity who were kind of feeling a little bit morally superior because they had the law of Moses. And that's why he says, you're without excuse. He's talking to Jewish Christians now. You're without excuse, you who pass judgment. The standards by which you judge, you condemn yourself because you do the very same things. Your stubborn, impenitent heart is storing up for yourself wrath on the day of judgment, and God will repay everyone according to his works. When St. Paul says those things in the first reading, he's not saying them to put you down. He's saying them, rather, as a springboard to talk about Christ's own faithfulness, which is now your gift. Now, if you're like me, you hear those words and you say, yeah, okay, Christ is faithful and he offers it to us as a gift, but I still sin. And again and again and again. And here's St. Paul's message back to you in response. If you want it, if you pray for it, and if you persevere in it, you will receive it. God will not deny one who is so eager to go to him. Pray, persevere, and never quit, and you will receive. Maybe it'll be gradually, maybe it'll be all at once. You'll receive the gift of God's faithfulness. But it's hard. It feels like a fight. It feels like a constant struggle. That's why it's good that today we're celebrating the feast of St. Margaret Mary. St. Margaret Mary, who promoted the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that reminds us that our faith is not about striving to keep laws and about pious practices and about working hard and feeling guilty and all these things. Our faith is first and foremost, at its core, all about love. God offers us a covenant because he loves us. We strive to keep it because we love him. Let's never lose sight of that as we persevere in God's service and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Margaret Mary, pray for us.